it wasn't for the lighthouse. I grew up around a lot of lighthouses. We know them by the design on them. We know them, and whether you know it or not, every lighthouse has a different frequency of how the light shines, how many seconds on and how many seconds off. And they're each one decorated differently up and down the East Coast, so that mariners can see them and know exactly where they are by the frequency of the light and by the painting on the lighthouse. That's the same way with God for us. I hope this week you've been thinking about the question, the one question I ask you to center on all week. Where have you seen God this week? Where have you seen God this week? And I'm going to continue to remind you about that question over and over again. Because where we see God is where we need to enter in and work with God. And this psalmist says, "Send me your light and your faithful care. Let them lead me, let them bring me to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell." I can't think of much more important words right now in our world. You see, these are difficult times in which we find ourselves. We don't really know what tomorrow is going to be. This is difficult times, not only because of the pandemic. It's difficult times because of civil unrest. It's difficult times because of political problems. I think that may be the best way to say that, because the politicians can't agree on doing anything right now for helping the people. This will be my only plug. If you have not voted already, go vote. If you have not voted already, go vote. I'm not going to tell you how to vote, and I will never do that. I hope that you'll spend some time in prayer before you go to vote, though, and ask God what God wants. And listen to what God has to say, not what your heart has to say. Because that's part of the problem that we're living in right now, is that everybody's listening to what they want, what their heart desires, and they're hurting a lot of people trying to hold out for what they want. Whether it's politically, whether it's in the community right now, everybody's trying to hold out for what they want. It doesn't matter what's good for the people. It doesn't matter even what's good for helping the people to follow God. It's a difficult world that we find ourselves in right now. It is a very difficult world. I never could have imagined that things would be this difficult. Social media has torn our country apart. There is good uses for social media, and that's what I continue to try to do every day, is use it in a positive way that will help people. That's why I put something on my page every day and at least two things on the church page every day. Trying to be positive and not negative. Because this world now is a place where there's a lot of negative going on. And there's a lot of pushback over the simplest of things. And there's a lot of people being offended by something I think they shouldn't be offended by at all. I don't know, I guess I learned because of some of the things that I've been through that sometimes the number one rule is don't sweat the small stuff. And when you forget rule number one, you turn and look at rule number two. It's all small stuff. And if you don't agree with that, 100 years from now, some of the things that we're going through won't even be remembered. But it is a difficult world that we're living in, isn't it? It's a difficult place because we don't know what tomorrow will bring. We don't know, a week or two from now, we may be in lockdown again. It's happening in Europe. Be prepared. This Thursday, the UK starts a month-long lockdown. The Prime Minister announced it yesterday. It may be just around the corner for us again. And we're tired of what we're going through. We're tired of all of this. And many people are crying out to God and asking God to heal and rescue us from what's happening. God, heal us from what's going on. Get rid of this pandemic and get rid of it now. Get rid of the civil unrest and get rid of it now. Get rid of the political problems and discussions and get rid of it now. Amen?
Amen.
That's what we need. And people are crying out to God and they're asking God for this healing and rescuing us. And that's what this psalmist says. The very first verse of this psalm says, "Vindicate me, my God, and plead my cause against an unfaithful nation." We do not live in a Christian nation. We do not live in a Christian nation. That's a fact. An unfaithful nation, rescue me and from those who are deceitful and wicked. Some of the people in this country are the most deceitful and the most wicked people there are. People are crying out, just as the psalmist does. When, Lord, will it happen? When will this happen? Well, we need to be the people that are doing something different. We should look for the light and the care of God, which is in our presence at this moment. We should look for the light and the care of God, which is in our presence at this moment. That's why I'm going to continue to remind you and ask you, where do you see God working around you? God's light, God's care, God's love, God's peace, God's comfort is right there around us. I can remember my major professor in seminary, Dr. E. Glenn Henson. He asked us, and he would ask us again and again, "What does the church have that this world needs?" It's not programs. It's not activities. It's not events. It's not organization. What does the church have? The very love of God that this world needs. And if we're not out there sharing that love, we're failing God. How does civil unrest happen? Because people aren't loved. They're not understanding the care that God has for them. They're not understanding the love that God has for them. They're not understanding that God has mercy and grace. How does our political system be so disruptive? It's not about love. It's about what I can get out of the system. It's about what I can get for my constituents, no matter how silly it is. I hope you remember years ago that added to one of the bills was a bridge to be built in Alaska that connected nothing. There was no road to it, and there was no road from it. Does that serve the people? And stuff like that goes on all the time. What does the church have that we can give the people? It's the light and the care and the love of God. It's not programs, it's not activities, it's not events. There's enough of those things in this world already, isn't there? This world's not understanding God's love. Folks, we need to be looking for that light and that care of God. Because it is present. It is happening. God is watching over us. God is taking care of us. We can easily say, well, if God's taking care of us, why is the pandemic here? No. God is taking care of us. God is present, loving on you at this very moment. And if people in our world could understand the incredible love that God has for them, things would change. You cannot legislate change. It only changes by helping person by person by person come to know that God's light and God's care and love for them is right here, right now, in all of its fullness. That's the only way things change. It's not by making laws. It's not by putting prayer back in school. It's by helping people to understand that God loves them right where they are, just as they are. What a great song, huh? Just as I am, I come. God doesn't say clean up your act first and then come get love and peace and comfort. God says come. And we, the church folks, need to be knowing the very presence of God as God's working around us and as God is working in people's hearts so that we can help them see this light and this care that God has for them. I was amazed by a book that I've been reading yesterday. It's about a man who is climbing Mount Everest. His father was the first American to do it in 1963. And unfortunately for him, everybody kept asking him, are you going to climb Mount Everest like your dad did? Here's what's amazing me about the book. The guy says he doesn't believe in God. The guy says he doesn't believe in anything spiritual. But every chance he gets, he's looking for a blessing from someone so that his trip will be successful and he will get back down off of Mount Everest. And I'm like, wait a minute, you say you don't believe in anything and you don't believe that there's a God, but yet you don't miss an opportunity to get a blessing from some spiritual person. Folks, that's the state of our world around us. There are many that don't believe, but they are so looking for a blessing. They are so looking for somebody to love them. They're so looking for God's light to be upon them so that they might be successful and prosperous. And at the same time, they're saying they don't believe. Folks, if we're not looking for the presence of God in our midst, we're going to miss how God's working in people's hearts. How I'd like to talk to this young man and say, God is really working in your heart, and that's why you keep looking for a blessing. Folks, we need to recognize when that's happening so that we can encourage people to step closer to God. You see, when we see the presence of God in our midst, worship, praise, joy, and delight should fill us and flow through us. When we see the presence of God in our midst, worship, praise, joy, and delight should fill us and flow through us. If we all sit here like bumps on the log every week, who wants to join a bunch of bumps on the log? Do you? When we see the presence of God, worship. When we see the presence of God, praise for what God's doing in our midst. When we see the presence of God, there should be joy. There should be delight in our lives. It should overflow from us. Amen? When we see the presence of God, it shouldn't be like a funeral. It should overwhelm us. And it should fill us in such a way that we cannot contain it. And it should fill us in such a way that it just spills out of us everywhere we go. And the people that have to walk around us are having to figure out, how do I step around that puddle? I mean, come on, folks. We need to be excited about the presence of God. There is God working in our midst. There is the God of 150 billion galaxies working right there in front of us. Did you hear that number? 150, 160 billion galaxies. God created it all. And we see God work, and sometimes we just sit there. A God that can create all that, but yet comes down and saves one soul. Comes down and touches one heart. How do you still sit there like a bump on a log? How does anybody do that? Folks, what does the church have that this world needs? The very love of God. Not programs, not Sunday school, not activities, not events. We have the love of God. Amen. And this world needs that. How do we change our political system? The love of God. How do we change civil unrest? The love of God. How do we change racial problems? The love of God. And when we see God's presence and God's working, why are we not filled with joy and delight? Why are we convinced that we got to contain ourselves? Wonder what would happen if we didn't. Besides the fact that there'd be somebody in our society calling us crazy. They already do. So why are we trying to convince them otherwise? They say we're crazy for believing in a Savior that gives His whole life for us. They say we're crazy for that. That's a given. Let's just move on then. Amen? Let's just move on and show this world the incredible love that this world needs. So instead of being downcast during this time, we should have our hope in a God who loves and cares for us. Now I want you to understand, hope does not mean wish. It's not that I'm wishing. That's not that kind of hope. We use that word hope sometimes that way. Instead of being downcast, we should hope in a God who loves and cares for us. Hope means that we are confident, that we know it well, and that we know that we can live with God loving us and caring for us. Amen?
Amen.
That's the kind of hope that the Bible talks about. It's not a wishful hope. It's a hope that says, I know, I'm sure about this, and it is happening, and it is happening in my midst, and it's happening in your midst. And for those who are downcast, and they are lower than a snake's belly in a wagon rut, God still loves them. And they need to hear that. And we need to tell them. So I'm going to ask you to think about this question for this week. Do you need to change the direction your eyes are looking? Do you need to change the direction your eyes are looking into an upward, praising focus? Do you need to change the way your eyes are looking? Into an upward praising focus. As Christians, we need to stop walking around going, oh, woe is me. We need to stop being Eeyores. If you don't know who Eeyore is, go home and watch Winnie the Pooh. Eeyore's favorite phrase, oh, woe is me, Pooh. Folks, we need to stop that. So what if right around the corner we go down to the lockdown again? Are we going to praise God still? Are we going to let people know that God still loves them even when they have to sit at home? A phone call, an email, a text message, a personal letter that comes in the mail. How incredibly rare that is nowadays. How incredibly rare that is. Everyone, we don't mind sending cards and signing our name to it. What if you were to write a personal message and send it to somebody to let them know how much God loves them and cares for them? Is it time for you to look in a different direction? Is it time for you now to have an upward praising focus in this world? I think it is. Our town needs it. Our county needs it. Our state, our nation, and our world need an upward praising focus from the people of God. How do we change the world? One at a time by letting them know that God loves them. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you in this incredibly difficult time. For some reason, we think that the church has never had to walk through a time like this before. And how will it hold together? And yet we can look back in our history and see that the church has had to walk through even more difficult times than we're walking through right now. and it's still here. And it's still sharing God's love in the midst of this world. And it's still reaching out to gather people in. Sometimes we think this is the first pandemic that's ever happened to the church, but that's not true. We can't even begin to imagine what it was like in the 1400s and 1500s during the Black Plague. During a sickness when they couldn't even understand where it was coming from, and yet they still were the church. So Lord, give us courage to look up. Give us the ability to sing out. Give us the way and the focus to help people know that you are present and you want to love on them more than anything else in this world. Help us to be people that are your people. And Lord, as we come to this table now, which is a table we haven't approached for quite a while as a community, the virus and precautions have caused us to set it aside. And as we come to this table right now, help us to look inside, to confess what we need to confess, to let go what we need to let go of, so that we might fully participate in this meal as a community once again. And that in these symbols, the bread and the juice, that we may truly find your presence to empower us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.